City Talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Delight to welcome to the studio pro boxer from the city, Dale Gallagher. Morning to you, Dale. And also alongside Dale as well, Jay Harris, who's a personal trainer and a PE teacher. You might remember him. He's been in a few months ago. Let's just get that microphone correct. Morning to you, chaps. How are we doing? Nice to see you again, Jay. And Dale as well. You're in here because we wanted to catch up with yourself, Jay, but also hear Dale's story, which is pretty remarkable. Now, you're both schoolmates. That's correct, isn't it?
Yeah.
How old are we now?
23, yeah.
Okay, 22, 23. You've gone down the route of being a pro boxer. You're a trainer. But you're still pals, and you sponsor Dale.
Yeah,
is that correct?
Dale first fight, yeah.
Okay, so when did you see that sort of Dale had the talent that you wanted to be involved with, Jay?
It was when you went on to like the White Coliseum, wasn't it? So about, how long ago was that? Like 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, something like that. And I went down to watch just to support him. And I noticed he was different to everyone else. He kind of already had that like professional look about him, whether it was the shorts, the ring entrance, and then obviously how he fought in the ring. And I was just starting off my business at the same time. So I thought it'd be a good idea. Obviously, I wanted to get my name out. And then we kind of spoke, and obviously, as a boxer, you need sponsors. And we kind of just came up with it, like an idea of how to work together.
You've been boxing for years, but what age did you decide you wanted to go into the pro ring? When did you understand that you wanted to make a livelihood of it, Dale?
Do you know what? It was probably about 2 years ago, but when I was younger, I was just amateur. And then I went out to amateur to do football, and then I had an injury come back. And then it was like my brother said to me, just get back into boxing. You're good at it, so why not get back into it? Do you know what I mean? So got back into it. Had a few unlicensed fights and stuff, won a few titles at it. Doesn't really mean too much, but and then eventually it was like there's no one left really to fight no more, so it's hard to turn pro or go back down the amateur.
So you thought it was right for you? Where were you training out of?
The engine room.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So there was people around you telling you that this was something you could make a career out of.
Yeah.
So you've had 2 years. At what weight has it always remained the same sort of weight you've been fighting at?
Well, at pro, I'm a welterweight. I'm going to move down to light welter, but I've took fights at middleweight and stuff if fights come along, you know what I mean?
Right. How tough is it when you start out on the professional circuit? So a young lad like you from Liverpool, such a competitive sort of environment. We just had the lads in Tony Warrior Dodson. He's done it himself. Sean Machidotti's currently on that sort of ride, enjoying the fame and the belts, if you like. How tough is it at the very start?
It's hard if you haven't got the backing. See, like, for a lot of fighters, they've got, like, Eddie and Frank Warren all that behind. If you haven't got one, like, someone like that behind you, you've got to do it all yourself, which I don't mind because I want to make my name by myself, do you know what I mean? So, like,
But you can't really, though, can you? You can't make it on your... You need that bit of luck where someone sort of helps you at some point.
Yeah, you do, but, like, the fights can come along where, you know, you're not meant to win. You beat that person, you've made your own name, do you know what I mean? So, if I beat, like, one of their lads, eventually they'll just take note and think, you know what, you know, and that's kind of how you can make your name. But a lot of people just get signed straight away by ADN and you know, they get looked after for fights and stuff. I can't really afford to be looked after right now because I've got to make my name. So that's like the fight in Pakistan, my next fight now coming up. He's a good name. He's fought like Frankie Gavin and stuff like that. He's fought for a world title, so it's going to be a good fight for me.
Right, okay, so we'll talk about the Pakistan experience in a moment or two, but you've had three pro fights, right, isn't it? Yeah. And actually, for people out there who maybe don't understand, there isn't massive money, is there, at the start of any pro boxing career? It's quite a struggle.
Yeah.
Are you having to work at the same time? Or?
Yeah, I work as well, yeah, just to like fund, just like me living, really. But
so how many hours work are you doing a day and then training?
I work like 6-7 hours a day, and then plus I train twice a day as well. So I wake up at like 5:30 in the morning, go to the gym, train for like an hour and a half, go rest, train at 10:30 till 12, then rest and then go to work.
And then do work. What do you work as at the moment?
Security.
Right, okay. Yeah. So it's a long, long day, isn't it?
Every day, yeah.
Okay, so you're obviously alongside. You must be sort of almost a bit of encouragement that he needs at times, Jay.
Yeah, I try to anyway. But it's the same. I know quite a few of the lads from Engine Room as well. Some of them are like my best mates. So it's the same with them. I try and keep them motivated as well because obviously I've seen them from White Collar scene to obviously turning professional, and I know how hard it is for them.
How much of a change is it from that white collar scene to turning pro, even at the early stage?
I'd say it's massive because, like they said, he wants to make a name for himself. He needs to get out there. It's the same as we were saying before. If a fight gets cancelled, it's a little bit different when you're professional than to the white collar, because the white collar, you can move it to the next weekend or something else, or you can change your opponent on the night. With professional, it's much different, isn't it? So it is. I know it's hard for them, but if they keep going, it's going to work out for them eventually.
How many young professional boxers like you do you think there are just in this city alone, which is obviously famed for its boxing passion?
You know, there's quite a few. There's people who I know.
We're talking young. Tens or hundreds?
Could be hundreds, really, yeah. Maybe around about 100. But there's people who I know who were like my age and younger who were like having their debut soon and stuff. So there is a few. But it just tends to be like a lot of people, like if they're in the amateurs, they want to like make a name in the amateurs and then turn professional, which can normally be like at the age of 26, 27. That's like, could be like an average age to turn professional. But if you want to just turn professional, it's off your own back, isn't it? Like.
Radio City Tour. The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
This is the kickoff. My guests, Dale Gallagher, pro boxer, very new on the circuit, 3 fights already, and PT trainer, and also sort of sponsor of Dale as well, Jay Harris as well. Let's continue just in what we were talking about, you heading out to Pakistan. So you're a young boxer. You're thinking to yourself, Dale, when do I get the breaks? When does it happen? You've had 3 fights, but at what stage did this fight in Pakistan come about?
I got told literally 4 days before I had to fly out.
So when was this? Was this this year? Last year?
June.
This was in June. Okay. Yeah. So how was this your third fight, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. So you'd had 2 fights up until then. Yeah. Had they been local fights, had they?
Yeah, in both in Liverpool, yeah.
Okay. You won them both?
Yeah.
By stoppage? Or?
First one stoppage, second 1 points.
Okay. So you're then waiting. You sort of don't know when your next fight's going to be.
Yeah. Well, I just come back from Aldi. I went to Vegas. Come back from Aldi. Went back to work and got the phone call saying, do you want to fly out to Pakistan? I got phoned on Thursday and they said, you fly out on Sunday.
Phoned by who?
Amir Khan's uncle.
So he just gives you a ring out of the blue, someone you don't know.
Tells me to Amir Khan's uncle, you're flying out to Pakistan.
You believe in him?
No, of course. And I was like, okay, I'll be out there. Yeah,
did you ring Jay? Did you say, Jay, is this nonsense?
I had to ring my brother and say, I've just been rang there by Amir Khan's uncle, supposedly saying, I'm flying out to Pakistan. He was like, oh yeah, I've spoken to him and stuff. So you're going. I've already told him you're going.
Why did Amir Khan's uncle identify you?
I'm not really 100% on that. I think what happened was, I think they got in touch with the commissioner who I like box for. He threw my name in and said, oh, there's a welterweight there, you could have him, type of thing. So I think they've just got in touch that way. And then he said, like, oh, we've heard by you, you've got a good record of, yeah, do you want to come over? Do you know what I mean? So it was short notice. I said, what weight is it? Yeah, the only problem is it's at middleweight. I said, for the opportunity, I'll fight at heavyweight. That's what it is. So I went on the Sunday. Done like all the media stuff through the week on the news and all stuff over there, and then.
And you hadn't done a camp, had you? So as you say, you've just finished a holiday. So yeah. It's not really how you'd want to prepare,
for a fight like that, yeah.
But so you took it. You headed out to Pakistan with Amir Khan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thinking this is a bit surreal? This whole bubble that I'm wrapped up in at the moment.
Of course, yeah. Because I think just a week ago, like I was just in work, normal. Do you know what I mean? Like eating whatever I wanted and stuff. And now I'm like about to have the biggest fight in my life so far. So. Mm. But for the opportunity, it was like I was the first person to ever box over there and win. So I made history over in Pakistan. So that was like a big thing to me that I wanted to make while I was over there.
Yeah, just explain, because boxing isn't a regular mainstream sport out there, is it? And that's why there was such a mad fever for it.
Yeah, well, Amir Khan said to me that, there's no gyms over there. So what his plan is to make boxing big over there so you can try and generate a world champion from Pakistan. He said, that's my aim when I'm over there. So if you can come over, put on a show, then let the local people see that it's a good sport and stuff like that. People want to get involved. Mm. So that's kind of why we went over there, like to brought professional boxing over to Pakistan.
So just explain to us the reception that you got. What were you actually expecting and what did you sort of arrive and see?
You know what, I wasn't expecting much. I thought we'd just get there and it would just be like sitting in the hotel till fight night type of thing. And Amir Khan will get all the praise and all stuff that we got there. We were treated like royalty, really. Our bags were taken off as soon as we got like to the airport. Crowds of people screaming for you, crying when they seen you, and it was like escorted by the army. You had your own personal bodyguards. It was just crazy. I can't even explain it really.
It's mad, really, because as I say, I can't emphasize it enough. It's only your third fight,
exactly.
And,
yeah.
So actually, you were thinking, I'm Dale Gallagher. No one knows who I am,
yeah.
And you're heading out there with Amir Khan. And actually, they probably didn't know that much about Amir either, did they?
Yeah, they just know that he's done a lot of things and he's a world champion from. And he's from Pakistan. That's all they knew, do you know what I mean? So they probably haven't really watched much of him themselves, but they were just happy that someone from Pakistan was there, Amir Khan, do you know what I mean? So It was just crazy, really.
So you fought at middleweight. Was there quite a crowd there?
Yeah, there was loads of people there, yeah.
Yeah? And how did the fight go?
Yeah, I won on points.
Right, but so yeah, it was worth taking the chance.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Worth taking the risk.
Yeah, of course.
What did Amir say after it all?
You know what, it was nothing but praise from him. Everyone was saying while I was fighting him, Khan was on his feet, throwing punches as if he was in there with me. And after that, he was saying, oh, you're really good, talented boxer stuff, and I'm looking forward to watching more of you and stuff. His uncle gave me loads of praise, said we'll get in touch with you soon, and we'll get you, when there's a next show on, we'll get you there. But I think, like, they've said to me, like, I'll be fighting in all different types of countries and stuff. It's just trying to get it all through, you know, like, speaking to them directly, my brother, now he, like, speaks to them and tries to negotiate the next fight and stuff.
What a gamble, but it paid off. Jay, did you go out there?
No,
didn't get
I wish I did.
Didn't get an invite. It's an amazing story, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I remember when he messaged me and I didn't believe it, I was like, as if. Because it was literally, he said, I'm flying out in two, three days. And I was like, no way. And then he was showing me, like, photos of, like, in Gallagher's gym and stuff when he went up there, and I was just like, no way. And then, obviously, on the day when he was there, I started to believe him. And I remember just searching on Twitter his name because I didn't know what was happening over there. So I typed his name in on Twitter and there's just videos and photos of him and everything. And I was sending it to them all day, wasn't it?
Because people out in Pakistan have been, you know, doing a lot of the social media. So it was easy to keep up with.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There was just tons of photos and videos up there. So before he was telling me what was happening, I already knew because I was following it on Twitter myself.
Be quite proud as a friend.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because like I said, I've seen him like starting off in, you know, like white collar shows, and now he's professional. He's fighting on an Amir Khan show, and only his third fight, so it's great for him. And I'm sure it's only going to get better.
This goes down to what I was saying about you need a little bit of luck. Yeah. Your bit of luck was being identified within Amir Khan's camp, and presumably you might still have that relationship that might lead to something else in the future. Yeah. You do need people to push you in the right direction, don't you? So what lies ahead then? Obviously, you're based here in Liverpool. Just three fights under your belt. When's your next fight?
December 4th.
Right, where's that going to be?
It's in Hangar 34. It's by the Dock Road. So that'll be on it.
Do you know your opponent already?
Yeah, his name's Michael Kelly. He's fought some good people. He's fought Frankie Gavin. He fought Craig Doughty in a world title fight. But it's my first, like, I'd say my really first tough test. He's won 9, lost 7. But he's lost to good people, do you know what I mean? So for me, it's a really good test, like.
I presume you want to run really quickly with this, don't you? But actually, the good thing is to build experience slowly, isn't it? Not to get too far ahead of yourself as a young pro boxer.
A lot of like promoters, do want to look after you. My brother now, he's looking after me, but he doesn't think like I should have easy fights. He wants me to fight tough people, so people think, oh, this lad's the real deal. So right now he's saying like, we'll get you this fight, then we'll get you this. So he wants me to just like really just beat people who should be beating me, really, to prove that I can be up there, do you know what I mean? I can be like a top fighter and stuff.
Do you look at some of the other young fighters in the city, and we talked about it before, and there are probably 100 out there, can you learn from their mistakes or ones that perhaps have been lost by the wayside?
Yeah, you know, I think with some...
Because there's only a small margin, isn't there, that actually get through to where you really want to be.
The way I'm doing it, I'm kind of happy because I think some young boxers, they get looked after that much. When they come up against a test, who, like, they will be better than, they're so shocked and, like, overwhelmed by, like, the person who hasn't had that lucky break, so they wanted that extra bit more. So I think, like, that'll be me in the future. I wanted that bit more than the person who's been looked after, so when I get my chance, I will take it, do you know what I mean?
Fantastic stuff. Jay, just on a personal note with yourself, so last time you were in, you were telling us about your personal training business and... You work with kids at the moment. Just tell us about some of that work that you've been growing.
Yeah, well, since the last time I was here, I was doing the kids' classes, but I've kind of changed it more into one-to-ones with kids, so personal training just for children. Still doing the adults, but rather than doing a full class of 10, 15 people, just sticking to the one person. And the reason I'm doing that is because I get to focus on that one person for the whole hour. It's not like your typical personal training session where they're lifting weights or trying to bench as many kilos as they can. It's literally a fitness session, so we'll do like pads with them, a little bit of skipping, running, trying to beat the time and sprints and stuff, and I'll try and just keep them fit for the hour.
You work with children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, primarily, was it about obesity? Were you looking at obesity in youngsters, and were you seeing, you thought there was a more evidence of a growing problem on that front?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because, like I said, because I work in a school, I'm seeing it daily, and I do one-to-ones in the school, so I don't start usually till 12 o'clock, but I'll go in now as soon as I finish here and do a one-to-one with a child. again to keep them active. So to me,
Does it shock you the levels of obesity you're seeing now?
Yeah, and I don't know why it is. I mean, I touched on it last time. I think part of it is down to video gaming or iPads or stuff like that, because when they go home, that's what they're using. And like I said, I'm the same. I do still play on. Tomorrow I'll be going into town and buying Call of Duty, as well as the new Bon Jovi album, obviously, but I'll be buying Call of Duty.
As you do.
So, I'm the same. I do like to play my games, but I remember as a child, all I wanted to do was just play out and stuff. And I wish I had an hour's fitness session, because that would have benefited me.
How do you help the youngsters who haven't got that in their head? Some youngsters just naturally want to burn energy, don't they?
Yeah.
Other youngsters, and these are ones we're talking about.
Yeah.
How do you get them engaged with fitness?
To be honest, it's not so much the children, it's more the parents. You've got to speak to them. Some of them can get a little bit defensive on why you're doing it, and obviously it's a touchy subject, so you don't want to say too much, but obviously it's just something I'm noticing while I'm working in the school, and I'm finding it's becoming... it's increasing as time's going on. So I'm just trying to do my part, really.
Okay, it's brilliant work. And obviously you'll continue doing that. Mm-hmm. Big aim for yourself is to get a gym up and running. Would that focus on youngsters' fitness studio?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want a studio. That's my long-term goal. But 100% would, like, as long as I can keep anyone active, so whether it is a child or an adult, I don't mind, but... at the moment, just over the past year or so, because I have been working in the school, I'm just noticing it more. So I've kind of moved. I'm still doing, like I said, I'm still training the adults, but I'm focusing on the children just as much now as well.
Chaps, great to see you. Dale, I take it you won't be accompanying him to buy the new Bon Jovi album tomorrow.
No.
I think the queue might just have
less than
double figures. Yeah, it might just be you at the end. No, actually, enjoy it. I know you love a bit of Bon Jovi. Chaps, great to see you. Thank you very much indeed.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.